Welcome to another episode of Pault on Power, Power System Design's podcast on the latest in power and power design. I'm your host, Alex Pault, and today we've got Brian McCleary. He's the Principal Product Manager for Clean Energy Technology at National Instruments, and we're going to talk a little bit about digital and the digital energy revolution. Is that right, Brian?
Yeah, it's great to be here.
Oh, I'm glad to have you here. Now, this whole issue of clean energy technology, does it have to be digital to be clean, or is it just the digital part of the solution, or where do you see it?
Yeah, I mean, we definitely see the digital energy technologies, power electronics, digitally controlled, as one of the most important technologies we need to advance to move clean energy forward. If you look at all the new energy systems, whether it's solar or wind or grid storage, they all have power electronics right at the heart of these systems, and so it becomes one of the most important aspects of the design of these systems, whereas a lot of the older energy systems, like, combustion turbines and things like that, they don't have power electronics in them.
Well, and actually that's a very good point. It's almost as if power electronics and the digital technologies behind them have been creeping from the micro to the macro over the past few years. I mean, a few years back, if you were doing a washing machine, you just had to throw a motor in a box and be done with it.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, the Department of Energy estimates, today, about 30% of all power goes through power electronics at, some point between when it's generated and when it's used. But by 2030, it's expected that 80% of all electricity is going to go through power electronics. So it's not just your washing machine. It's virtually, every industry is going to be impacted by this, digital energy megatrend.
Exactly. I mean, literally from the grid level down to the device.
That's right. I mean, from the cars we drive, we've seen this transition from carbureted combustion engines with no electronics to fuel-injected, electronically controlled, still all combustion-based, no power electronics in there, to, now, hybrid. We have, combustion engines and electric motors working together. And you can see the clear trend where this is heading, which is going to be pure electric vehicles in the future. And this is true on ships, on the power grid, and in many, many, in the midst of this kind of electrification trend towards power electronics.
Exactly, Brian. Now, how does NI see that progression going? Obviously, you people are sitting around and looking very closely at the trends. What trends do you see?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's kind of six big trends that we see really kind of driving this digital energy megatrend. Number one is the rapidly increasing efficiency of the power electronics. If you look at, for example, the IGBT power transistors, the power stacks that are out there today, are about 96% to 98% efficient. But the waste heat coming out of IGBTs, if you go back to the 80s and look at the trend, it's been consistently dropping about 50% every 11 years. So the waste heat from, say, a 100-kilowatt inverter in 1980 would have been, about 6,000 watts. But by 2020, that's going to be on the order of 500 watts. So you're talking about a 100-kilowatt power stack. Now, that's equivalent of 134-horsepower engine, only putting out 500 watts of waste heat. So that's like the equivalent for maybe like a high-end laptop or a tower PC.
Exactly. That's wild, Brian, when you think about that. That's insane energy densities, and yet with such high efficiencies, it really is becoming, you can put a lot more power into a lot smaller space.
That's right. Yeah, the miniaturization goes hand in hand with that. I mean, let's do that same trend. In 2000, that 134-horsepower power stack with IGBTs in it would be 52 liters in size. So that's a cube about 15 inches on a side. But by 2020, that's down to less than 2 liters. So 52 liters to 2 liters in 20 years. So that's a 5-inch cube that has the equivalent power of a 134-horsepower engine. Now, it's really, I'm talking about the IGBTs, so it's not the motor. It's more like the, it's like the combustion chamber.
Right, the driver of, well, the locomotive. Right, it's... But the interesting thing there,
power density, I mean, that's incredible.
It is. And then the other, it goes in both directions, right? You can have a less dense system that is incredibly cool then, or a denser system that's putting out the same heat.
That's right. I mean, today, if you got that 134 30 horsepower system, you know, you're talking about 2,000 watts of waste heat. So that's like, you know, your hair dryer, you know, blowing black all the time. And you think about how fast that hair dryer, catch fire if the fan trips off, and it doesn't, and the thermal switch doesn't turn it off. I mean, it's going to be in a matter of seconds. So that's a lot of waste heat. But you know, by 2020, that's down to 500 watts. You know, that's a little, you know, heat sink in a cooling fan on a PC. I mean, so that really kind of changes everything in terms of what applications we can solve with power electronics. It opens up all kinds of new types of systems. I mean, one really cool product that's coming out this year is an electric skateboard, you know, with an inverter on it, and it's, you know, got a 20-mile speed and 5-mile range, and it'll regenerate while you're slowing down. I mean, there's all kinds of just incredible applications that, you know, some of which we probably haven't even dreamed of yet, that are going to be enabled by this digital energy revolution.
Exactly. So now, beyond efficiency, what's number two?
Two, I would say, is the miniaturization. You know, and you could kind of clump that together. You could say efficiency and miniaturization, because they really do go together. The next one, I would say, is really the embedded computing performance per dollar trend.
Yeah,
you know, better known as Moore's Law, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But the real impact for the embedded developers, you know, making these power electronics control boards, is how much performance can I get per dollar? So I don't think, you know, just the doubling of the performance every 18 months really captures it. It's actually, you know, the performance, because typically the application, say that electric skateboard or a grid-tied solar inverter, you've got kind of a fixed budget that you can spend.
Exactly.
The question is how much computing can I get for that budget, right?
Well, then you're also talking about things like programmability and duty cycles depending on the application. You're also talking then about new applications that are enabled by the addition of digital control.
That's right.
You know, so it's very they're all separate points, but they all support one another.
That's exactly right.
So what's number three?
Okay. Yeah. Well, just, you know.
Or did you want to go a little bit over number two some more?
Well, I was going to say that, you know, the performance per dollar trend is like 500x between 2010 and 2020. So, you know, that's really going to impact what we can do on embedded chipsets for these, you know, digital power applications, and to make it cost effective. And the way I look at it, the full control processor-based type of system really only passed the analog op-amp, you know, PI type controller around 2009. So
really,
it takes a surprisingly long time to beat an analog predecessor technology, right?
Well, this is also true for
the cost effectiveness of an op amp, right?
Well, and then exactly, I think it's more the management where digital really shines.
Yeah. You know, the ability to manage the complexity of these systems.
Exactly.
And do it digitally and do it cost effectively. I mean, you know, 10 years ago, it was still a lot more cost-effective to do, if you were really price-sensitive, to do, you know, just an analog control system. And you still see that in many, many, you know, power electronic systems out there because of that. So we're really just at the beginning of this, you know, this digital energy revolution.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Understood. And the performance per dollar is It's gotten to the point where if you were really obsessive about it, you could restart your redesign halfway through your initial design.
That's right. I mean, it's about 14 months right now, so the doubling time for the performance per dollar. So the average embedded design takes an order of 12 to 13 months, you know, to do a full custom embedded design.
Right.
So by the time you're done, you could buy a new chipset that's got twice the performance per dollar. And, you know, that's really causing a lot of challenges for these design teams, because how do you stay, you know, ahead of your competition?
Well, then,
world of it?
Well, programmability is one of the ways, correct?
Yeah, I mean, what we're finding is what's really driving the increase in performance per dollar today is parallelism, you know, massive parallelism.
Mm-hmm.
These chipsets are really no longer monolithic, you know, or monolithic FPGA chips.
Mm-hmm.
They're, you know, what's called heterogeneous computing devices, meaning all those different functionalities from these different processing technologies are integrated into a single chip. So, you know, take for example what you'd call an FPGA today is really no longer an FPGA. About 5 years ago, they started merging the DSP cores to become hardcore DSP slices inside the FPGA.
Right.
So the core technology that everybody uses in power electronics is a combination of DSP and FPGA. Well, that's now all available in a single chipset.
Exactly.
You know, that has a big impact, right?
Well, exactly, because then you've got the performance, as you're saying, the performance per dollar is, there alone has gone up by orders of magnitude.
Yeah, I mean, this is just the natural progression of electronics, right? We have more and more integration into a single integrated circuit. You know, that's a trend that goes back a long time. But, you know, just to compare, for example, in the last 5 years, when you go from this monolithic to this, you know, heterogeneous device that's got FPGA fabric and DSP together on the same chipset, you're talking 40x increase in performance per dollar.
Mm. That's quite impressive.
And, you know, it used to be that, you know, the FPGAs were more power hungry too, but actually, you know, if you divide by the computing power, you know, how much performance you get, when you integrate them all together in one chipset, you get about 10x higher performance per watt as well.
Well, that's pretty impressive as well, Brian. That really is. So now we've got the miniaturization, we've got the higher efficiency, we've got more power per dollar. What's next?
Well, I would say that the big trend that's impacting this power electronics area that's building on top of this is integration of a different type, integration of the power modules themselves, so into what you'd call a power stack, where you have, you know, nobody's going out and buying, or very few people are going out and buying discrete, you know, power electronics silicon, you know,
right,
IGBT MOSFET silicon, and making their own modules. They're, you know, most of the market today is using, you know, that stuff packaged into some kind of module. It could be a half bridge module. It could be a six pack with, you know, three half bridges. And, you know, this is actually true across the power levels, you know, all the way up into the megawatt level systems for, you know, say solar and wind and grid storage. And so those are really becoming what's called power stacks, where you buy as a package this kind of modular brick that has the IGBTs, it's got the heat sink, it's got the DC link capacitors, it's got the sensors, kind of all integrated in a pre-validated package.
Mm-hmm.
And that really takes a lot of the engineering burden down. So that's one of the ways you can, you know, try to stay on top of this, all these other technology trends that are changing the world so fast. Like, how do you stay ahead of your competition when, you know, that you could redesign every 14 months?
Right, exactly.
Is using more modular building bricks. You know, so you're not designing everything completely from scratch anymore.
Right, and a lot of the improved devices are usually, with luck, knock on wood, drop-in replacements for the older models.
That's right, yeah. And then on the, you know, in the embedded computing side, National Instruments, our business model is we provide you an embedded system for power electronics that's pre-validated and has the latest Moore's Law, you know, heterogeneous processing technology, so the latest, like Spartan 6 and Zynq-type FPGA devices that are these hybrid devices with DSPs and processors inside.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we provide it on an off-the-shelf board. And it's our job with our massive engineering teams to stay on top of all the chipset roadmaps and deliver to you updated embedded systems on a very regular basis to keep you on the front of that curve. And so many companies, in the same way they're not buying, you know, raw silicon and building their own modules anymore, they're not buying discrete processor chips anymore. They're buying kind of a chip-on-board strategy.
Mm-hmm.
And we have these embedded boards that are specifically optimized for power electronics. So you can say, you can take a power stack that has all the power electronics part integrated, and you can take this off-the-shelf control board that has all the I/O and A to D converters and digital I/O for, you know, controlling the IGBTs. Fully integrated, and use those building blocks to put together your, you know, your grid-tied inverter system with, building on the pre-validated kind of building blocks. And that's what's really enabling companies to stay on the front of all of these trends that are really changing the landscape very, very fast.
Exactly, Brian. So now, after the integration, what's next, number five?
The networking and the digital communication buses.
Like the Internet of Things kind of thing, or just everything?
Well, you know, we talked about the digital buses that are used within the power electronic systems themselves, but also these power electronic devices themselves are networked. So in the grid tied area, there's a new protocol called IEC 61850. That's kind of the new network protocol for the smart grid that'll mm-hmm. be a international worldwide standard. And so those protocols are moving into the inverter control systems themselves. So the inverter is kind of what you'd call a smart grid ready device or smart grid participant, where it's networked, it's sending data to the utility, it's perhaps taking commands like how much reactive or active power do you want produced, and it's also sensing the local grid conditions. And the goal is to really be able to string together tens of thousands or millions of inverters onto the power grid and have them all play very nicely.
Right.
Today there's a lot of issues with integration that is being caused by these power electronics, like harmonic noise and things like that on the power grid. And so there's a desire to really have these digital electronic control systems play better on the smart grid, and the networking, of course, is a key piece of that, so they can communicate with the utility.
Exactly.
And each other.
Exactly. So now, then we come down to the final number six.
That was it.
Oh, that was it. I apologize. I got so caught up in it, and I'm like waiting for more.
But there's obviously, many technology trends impacting this, so that's certainly not the end of the list. But from the National Instruments perspective, that's some of the top ones that we see kind of really changing the world on a rapid pace. And really, you put all this together, it looks like this decade is really the era of digital energy or power electronics, where things like electric vehicles, by 2020 it'll probably be cheaper, for example, to buy a electric car with a 300 mile range than a gas car, if you follow the price of the IGBT power transistors and the battery technology in particular.
You're absolutely right there, Brian. Now, what can our audience do to get more information from National on how they can help them integrate these newer protocols, newer technologies, newer designs into their systems?
Yeah, we have a developer community website that's fairly new, but it's becoming quite active at ni.nationalinstruments.com/powerdev, which is short for power developer. So ni.com/powerdev is a community-based website where people that are developing these systems using NI hardware and software tools like that inverter control system and the LabVIEW graphical programming tools that target these heterogeneous FPGA devices with the DSP cores integrated. That's a kind of a community site where everybody's sharing what they're doing and posting code, and there's a lot of resources there, like the design guide that you can download, and you can get eval versions of all the software tools to really help you develop these systems.
Excellent, Brian. Is there anything you wanted to touch on before we closed out the episode?
No, that should do it. Just a couple anecdotes on that last trend, the battery technology, for example. People worry about the price of the batteries in their electric cars. But you look at, like, the lithium-ion price trends. The price for a 70-mile, 300-mile range vehicle, is going to be like under $6,000 by the mid-2020s. So, that's kind of the really missing link in all this for the grid, is this, that we really struggle to store energy today, right? And I would say that's probably one of the biggest areas we all need to focus on, is improving battery technology and energy storage technology to really unleash this digital energy revolution that will have all these benefits.
Agreed, Brian. Agreed. Well, hey, Brian, thank you very much for taking the time to be with us today. The whole issue about the digital energy revolution, I know, is near and dear to the audience's hearts as it is to mine, and I'm glad that you brought us some more information on it.
Well, thanks a lot, Alex. It's great to participate.
Well, we'll get you back in a few months, and we'll talk about where it's gone since. But in the meantime, thanks a lot. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Alex.
And I'd like to thank everybody out there for taking the time to listen to us. We wouldn't be here without you, the audience. Tell your friends. This is Alex Pault for Pault on Power. Have a great day.